Good morning. We're in Galatians 6, 9 and 10. An encouragement and instruction to weary souls. And it's a verse that's been on my mind and my heart. It's been helpful in this season in our life, and many seasons, this is a helpful word. You know, in war movies, when you've got a hero that just keeps moving under fire, picking up fellow soldiers, dragging them off the battlefield like you saw in Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers, or in romance stories like Hosea and Gomer in the Bible, when you've got a man being faithful to his wife, and in that case, it's a story where she's not being faithful, there is a beauty and a glory in somebody who is just persevering in doing the good that they're supposed to be doing. And on the other hand, it's deeply, deeply saddening to see, some of you have probably seen in your own family or friends, dads who abandon the family, walk away from the kids, a spouse who leaves their spouse, giving up, departing. It is deeply saddening. Galatians chapter 6 has a smattering of instructions for the Christian life. And the one that we're looking at today, let's read together verses 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And maybe in the future we'll look longer at verse 10. We're going to spend most of our time on verse 9. For five chapters, Paul's been addressing very specific issues that were threatening to undo the church in Galatia and destroy the message of the gospel. And for five chapters, he's made a lot of arguments, biblical and theological, to demonstrate that we are saved by the gospel alone, despite any other self-proclaimed messengers or teachers, through faith alone, without any works or any of our self and righteousness considered in any way, saved through Jesus Christ alone. Not by any other religion or path or promise or law. And he's labored to show us that this is the only gospel, and it's the only way to God, that gives glory to God, receives forgiveness as sinners, as a gift, and chapter 5 and 6, it's the only way for Christians to walk in the power of God's Spirit. And so here at the end of his letter, he has several instructions that don't seem necessarily immediately tied directly to the Galatian church, but like verse 9 and 10, they're very directly applicable to every one of us, every Christian everywhere. He gives us two commands and one promise, which that promise is also our encouragement. So the two commands: don't get weary doing good. And then verse 10, do good. Don't grow weary of doing good. And then verse 10, do good. And then the promise, which is our encouragement, is that in due season, you will reap if you don't give up. Why does Paul have to command us and exhort us to not grow weary? Kind of like we read in Ecclesiastes 1 earlier that Dalton read. The bottom line is, life is really wearisome. And the Christian life is really wearisome. Not that everybody here today is in a season where it's like, this is just drudgery, this is very tiring, wearisome. But at some point, every one of us is going to go through seasons that are incredibly wearisome. And the temptation is going to be that it numbs you up, you drift off from the Lord. You drift off specifically from doing the good that's right in front of you that you're supposed to do. That's going to be the temptation when you're in those seasons and in those moments. So the first command, let us not grow weary of doing good. The Greek word here is used several times in the New Testament. And these are going to sound familiar to you. Luke 18:1, Jesus tells his disciples a parable to the effect that they ought to pray and not give up, not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, we have this ministry by the mercy of God, and therefore we do not lose heart. And again in 4:16, he says, we don't lose heart, even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Ephesians 3, I ask you not to lose heart because of what I'm suffering for you, which is for your glory. 2 Thessalonians, don't grow weary in doing good. Almost verbatim what we have right here. The other word at the end of verse 9 is give up. Literally, the word in the Gospels, it's used a couple times in the Gospels for fainting. Jesus called his disciples to him. He said, I got compassion on these crowds because they've been with me for 3 days. They haven't had anything to eat. Jesus was unwilling to send them away lest they faint on the way. I mean, literally, just they're going to faint from hunger. But then in Galatians and in Hebrews, when he's using it to exhort his hearers, he says, let us not grow weary of doing good. In due season we will reap if we do not faint or grow faint-hearted, some translations say. In Hebrews 12, consider Jesus who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you don't grow weary or faint-hearted. I mean, you get the drift. There's a discouragement and a losing heart that takes the wind out of your sails in such a way, and the temptation from your flesh and from Satan that whispers in your mind is that this is too hard. I want to give up. I don't want to keep going. And I hope you see that this is different than simply getting tired. Jesus got tired. Ministering to thousands of people, his brain as a finite man got tired. Where he was like, I can't deal with the people anymore. I have to rest. His body, I have to go sleep. His soul, I've got to be away from all these people, go be alone with the Lord, my Father, and pray. He got tired regularly. We get tired regularly. What's the difference then of getting weary? Getting weary is when you've gone from, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm exhausted, to I don't want to give anymore. I'm done. It feels fruitless. It feels pointless. It feels purposeless, and you're going to give up. Jesus, in that sense, never grew weary. He never lost heart and gave up obeying the Father. And that's where we're just in a different category than Christ. We are sinful in our tiredness. We are sinfully weak when we get wearied. And God, in the Scriptures, he tells us there's many, many things that weary us in this life. He uses them to show us how sinful we are. He uses to show us how empty we are of all goodness and righteousness in ourselves. And then once you've become a believer, he's going to use all of those things to expose and refine and purify your hearts and grow and mature you. And it's painful. And there are days where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. There's nearly an infinite number of ways that life will grind, push, and tire us. Very broadly, here's a few that I jotted down. And you could add dozens to this list. But by our creaturely, bodily nature, we wear out and get tired. We need strength. And we sin more easily when we're tired than when we're not. Sicknesses, especially long-term illnesses, can have an incredibly discouraging effect on a person. They can sap you of your life and your will to press on. Relationships and responsibilities. When that minute hand is making like the third lap around the clock and you and your spouse are still trying to work out this conversation and conflict that you've been at for 3 years, you're just like, I don't want to keep doing this. An argument that ends without resolve for the 100th time. Kids, and you're exasperated with your parents because you don't feel like it's getting any better. Caring for aging parents, especially if you don't think they're as grateful or cooperative as it could be, that's difficult. Fighting our own sin and temptations, seeing things come out of our mouth or pop into our minds or that we did, and we're like, this has been going on for 20 years. Why am I still struggling with this? Makes you want to throw in the towel. There, you could apply this to 1,000 situations in your own life. But we're supposed to encourage one another in these things. When we grow weary, what is it that we're tempted to do? It's not just give up. It's not just stop. It's not just throw in the towel. It's not just losing heart. It's that we're going to stop doing good. And so we're going to get to that in just a minute, that's where we need to go when we feel like stopping, when we feel like giving up. That word good that he uses there, you know, a lot of times in the New Testament, it's used as a descriptor for other things. You're supposed to be full of good works. You're supposed to fight the good faith, keep the faith. Here, he's just saying very, very broadly, all of the good. The good that we're supposed to be doing is everything that is in accord with God's character and his commands. It's everything that he's given you in your own life. You know, I like the definition from classical education that says, what is the good? It's everything that's beautiful and true and wise, which is what God's character is. So every command that he gives us, the life that he's given you, the path that he wants you to walk is beautiful and it's true and it's wise. Everything that he comes out of his mouth, that's what we're supposed to be walking in. And so we're still on the first commandment. Don't get weary of doing good. But now the second command in this verse, do good. It's the entire life of obedience and submission to everything that God has specifically given to you, all the good that you're supposed to do. And here, Paul's giving us, just like Jesus does, just like the book of Proverbs does, giving us very broadly two different roads, two ways of living, two modes of existence. Back up to verse 7 and 8. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. There's two paths here for us. If you sow your garden in this way, it will have, guaranteed, a certain effect. And if you sow it this way, it's going to have a certain effect. There's a certain outcome. Doing good is making every decision, every act, Every time you make a decision, you make your act, you say what you say, you are planting seeds, is what he's saying. You're walking in step with the flesh, or you're walking in step with the Spirit. And you're planting seeds as you do that. And he says, if you give up and you're going to walk this path, it's a bad path with a horrible outcome. You will reap corruption down that. Corruption in your own mind, in your own soul, in your relationships in the short run, and at the end of the road, total corruption. Departing from God. And down this other one, you're planting seeds, sowing seeds that are going to bear good fruit. In the short run, they're going to bear good fruit in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own soul, in your own relationships, and at the end of the road, eternal life with the Lord. And so, third major point here, our promise and our encouragement is that you will reap if you do not give up. Now think about what he doesn't encourage you with. The encouragements that Paul does not give you, he doesn't say it's all going to work out. It might not. He doesn't say, just keep doing good to them. They're going to come around. They might not. You're going to end up in a better place. It might not. There might be more suffering in the next place, in the next chapter. You're going to be healed. The suffering will be short. This season will be over soon. He doesn't give us any of those encouragements, does he? What's the promise? What's the encouragement? You will reap if you do not give up. In due season, which that due season, man, don't you wish that you could change and dial in when that season was or what that day was? But that is in the Lord's hands, and it's in the Lord's timing, and guaranteed for certain at the end of the road, it is eternal life. And so, when we look at this encouragement that he gives us of why we shouldn't get weary of doing good, why we should keep doing good, the encouragement that he gives us, it's a promise. And I want you to note that. The encouragement is also the promise. And so, when you see that word will in there, you need to underline that, circle that, highlight that, because that's what you need to come back to when you are so discouraged that you don't want to go on anymore, when you want to throw in the towel. You will reap. Because the temptation that comes to your mind when life is grinding away at you, or the responsibilities, or the screaming kids are frazzling and fraying your mind inside, the temptation is to think, I can't do it anymore, and they're fighting just like they were 10 minutes ago. What's the point? The temptation is to think, this isn't going to produce anything. This isn't going to produce fruit. It's purposeless for me to keep on doing this. And you need to put your eyes back on God's promise that says, false, that's wrong, that's a lie. You will reap. You will reap if you do not give up. And that's not in your power, and that's not in my power to make that happen, but it is in God's power to make it happen. This is God's promise that you need to put your eyes on and take encouragement and strength from. As doubts are clouding your mind, as you are tempted to despair, as you're tempted to lay in bed and thinking, I don't want to get out of bed today. I don't think I can get up out of bed. You will reap if you don't give up. Brothers and sisters, we all need to repent here, because every single one of us. We have given up. We've lashed out at people. We've left off doing good that we should be doing. Which, in effect, is really saying, okay, God, the good that you have for me to do, it's not really good. I don't like it. I don't want it. It's not worth me doing. Now, I'm not talking about when we need to take a legitimate and godly break and a godly rest. When we legitimately need to be refreshed and rewatered by the Spirit in prayer. I'm talking about those moments when we've gotten angry with the person. We write them off in our mind. We hate them in our mind. We give in to sin because resisting sin and temptation feels like too hard of a struggle. And we're like, this is easier. This is more desirable. We've given up doing good and checked out. But praise God, He has never once checked out on you and me. And here's where I think in this promise is all the good news of the gospel. So I want to meditate on that for just a moment here. The good news of the gospel for weary souls is that you have a great shepherd, Jesus, who's never failed to do you good. He has never left off or gotten discouraged with your failures. He has never thrown in the towel on you. And how many times have you walked away from Him, sinned? Despite countless times that we've chosen sin over God, despite countless times where we've done not what He's wanted, but what we've wanted, or reacted in according to our flesh rather than in step with His Spirit. Despite some of you, years of following your own folly and sin, or walking in ignorance and following false religion, following other gods. It could have worn Him out till He was ready to throw you out. But despite deep betrayals, despite Him being despised, rejected, us considering Him as nothing, considering His word and His instructions as so much less desirable than this other path, He never has given up on us. And it wasn't like this has no effect on Him. It's not that he's up there and it has no effect. I mean, we see Jesus in the Scriptures. He's deeply grieved by unfaithfulness. When you read the story of Hosea and Gomer, He's angered by unbelief. He groans under the weight of ministering to people who just can't get it through their thick heads. In Isaiah 5, God has this little poem about this nation that He brought up out of Egypt and planted in their land, and they're supposed to be this beautiful garden, this beautiful vine full of love and justice and beauty, and it's going to be glorious, and all He gets is rotten, stinking fruit. And you look at Adam and Eve. I mean, Isaiah 5, when He's talking about Israel, they're just a bad sequel to Adam and Eve. And yet, Jesus has never lost heart on us. He went to the cross to fulfill every failure that we've done. And those, here's the good news for us. Because of His cross, all of our failures, every time we have given up, every time we have chosen sin instead of God's path, are fully and freely forgiven. What you shouldn't hear from this is that, oh, you have been a failure. You've been bad. You've missed the mark. You've got a D minus or worse on your report card. But look at Jesus. You should be like Him. You shouldn't hear that right now. What you should hear is all of us can have full and free forgiveness for every failure that we've made. Every time that we've given up, we can go to Jesus and be forgiven of that. The gospel here, the gospel hope in the book of Galatians right here, is that you have grown weary of doing good, probably this morning, and there's free forgiveness for every failing. A healer who will heal your broken, crushed, crooked spirit by his power and love. And that's the gift of the gospel that Christ in his perfect obedience gives to us. Amen? So the certainty, back to our promise, the certainty of our reaping has nothing to do with us having failed. It has everything to do with that Christ does not give up, and that he has promised himself to us. He's given himself to us in the gospel. And so that's why our certainty, it's not in ourselves, it's in Christ. You will reap if you don't give up. It will not fail. So our final application, if we can say it all in a nutshell, how do we pull this together? How do we walk out of here and live in light of that? It's by faith, looking at God's promises when you're weary, don't give up. This is kind of a living answer for weariness and discouragement. Not that it necessarily removes all the discouragement, and it certainly won't remove all the circumstances that are making you discouraged, but it will fix your mind on Christ and give you his strength through his word, through his promises. Strength to persevere. We don't listen to our doubts. We don't listen to those temptations that I'm going to give up because it's fruitless. It's pointless. No, God loves you. He wants you to reap. He wants you to have life full, abundant, all the fruit of the Spirit. He wants you to rejoice in the day that he's made. You know, Romans 5 says, God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now we've been justified by his blood. How much more will we be saved by him from his wrath? And 2 Peter says, in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom. When you're tempted to grow weary, you have to think about God's love, the love of the Father that Jesus has brought to you. And when you're tempted to grow weary, you think about the hope of the kingdom that he's brought to you. And when you're tempted to grow weary, you think about the gift of the Spirit that he's given you so that you can walk in the fullness of his truth. And then looking at the circumstance that's in front of you, you say, I'm going to take my next step in faith that I am going to reap. It's not fruitless. It's not pointless. He's put this here today. It's the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to do good. I'm going to do good to my husband, my wife, my kids, or my parents, or my coworker, especially to the household of faith. The hymn that we sang earlier, Rejoice, the Lord is King. I want to read this as the last line. I'm glad we sang that today. Verse 3, his kingdom cannot fail. He rules over earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. You will reap by God's grace that Jesus has given to you. So let's not grow weary. Let's keep going, persevere, doing the good that God's given us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious and sweet promises that you've given us through Jesus. We are nothing, we are empty without you. And everything would be fruitless without you. But thank you that you have given us purpose, you've given us promises that will in fact be fulfilled as sure as Christ is risen from the grave, seated at your right hand. You have given him the keys of death and hell, and we will reap. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you and bank on that and walk in faith in light of that. Amen.